All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading in verses 10 through 18. I really can't stress enough how important these verses are. I don't want to give some kind of mystical feel to anything that's going on. But I can't tell you how much Satan's going to try to discourage you from listening to this message. How much that he is going to distract you from listening to this message. I do not doubt for a second that floods of thoughts are going to be going through your mind tonight while we're reading this. And the very reason why that's going to happen is because of what we're talking about tonight. That very thing is going on in this church house. It will go on tonight, or at least it will try to. It's going on in your life daily, whenever you want to pray. You ever notice how you get really sleepy? All of a sudden, you can't keep your eyes open, and you can't focus, and things like that. When you want to read your Bible, all of a sudden, all these strange thoughts start flooding in. You're thinking about supper. You're thinking about this thing going on over here, over there. Distractions, discouragement, anything that can be used to hinder you from God's path is what Satan is going to use to do that. And he knows where you hurt the worst. He knows where your weakest points are. And he will absolutely exploit those things any way that he can to use them against you. And so we're going to be talking tonight. Last week we talked about spiritual warfare. Tonight we're just going to do a summary of the armor of God. And so that's our title for tonight, is the armor of God. And we're going to be looking in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now in chapter 6, verse 10... Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And it says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And our final verse, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let us bow in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we are looking to your word tonight, God, I know, as I've already mentioned, we're going to be tempted to either just close our ears or just walk away from some of the things that will be said tonight. God, I pray for your direction. I pray that your Spirit will win out, that he will lead in hearts and direct in hearts, that he'll open our ears and minds, keep our attention on you. And Lord, help us to know and understand the battle that we are raging in right now. Lord, we know that we cannot stand in our power alone. We have to stand in yours. I pray that you'll teach us that. And not only the truth of that, but that you'll teach us how to stand in your truth and in your power and in your armor. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last message, we learned about a battle that is raging right now. It's been raging for centuries, and it's just as heated today as it has ever been. It's a battle between two kingdoms, really. The kingdom of the world, which is led by Satan, and the kingdom of heaven, which is led by King Jesus. Now, this is a spiritual battle, as we talked about last week. And if you are saved, please understand this, if you are saved, you are a target in the spiritual battle. So you're either a target from the front or you're a target from the back. But either way, whether you're running or whether you're standing, you're a target. Right. And if you're a child of God, you're a target. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you're a target. And especially if you're trying to take a stand for God, that makes you an even bigger target. Amen. And so we have to understand that these things are going on and you're a part of it. Now, we dealt with the fact last week that the problems you see in the physical realm, which is our family and our friends, school, work, whatever it may be, that's the physical realm. The things that we're looking and seeing and hearing and all those different things every day, that's all part of that physical realm. What we are seeing and experience there are only fruit of what's actually going on in the spiritual realm. If we were to use our energy fighting things on the surface, we would never have a chance because the problem is below the surface. It's not a problem with your friends and family, although it is to an extent. We have to understand there is someone or something working behind each and every one of those situations that come on. So here it is. You're going to have it this week, if you haven't already, a hopeless situation. Drama. Problems. Heartache. Anger. Issues. Problems with finances. Problems with this. Problem with that. It's going to come up. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that if you try to tackle those problems alone, all you're doing is just shifting sand around, because eventually, you remember we were talking about that whack-a-mole last week? That problem you think it is, just the moment you think you hit it and got rid of it, another one pops up somewhere else. Why? Because it's not the problem that you're seeing that you're really having to fight and deal with. It's who is behind all this beneath. Amen. And that's where our battle has to be done. It's not in what can be seen, but in the unseen. Not in the physical, but, of course, on the spiritual. Now, let me use another example for this. If someone has the flu, and one of their symptoms is a cough. Now, though you need to treat the cough, giving them cough medicine doesn't fight the real sickness, does it? It only addresses the symptom of that sickness, which is the cough. And so once you treat the cough, other symptoms will pop up, because the problem is not a cough. The problem is a virus. And until that virus is addressed and treated and taken care of, then it's going to continue to work and it's going to continue to manifest in different symptoms. And so in order to fight the flu, you have to fight the virus itself. Listen, war has to be done not only against the symptoms, but with the sickness. And the battle that we're talking about in this chapter, the battle that you're a part of right now, is not a physical battle. It's not a battle in your marriage. It's not a battle in your family. It's not a battle at work. It's not a battle here or there. It is a spiritual battle that's made to disguise itself and look and feel like something else.
Right.
But really, it's just Satan working in your life.
Right.
It's Satan trying to discourage and mislead you in any way that he can. It's a spiritual battle. So the issues or the symptoms are going to show up as issues with people or money or politics, whatever it is. Some of us just sit around. Maybe we don't have any other problems. Sit around and talk about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton all day long, because it looks like a huge issue going on in our country. And so we've actually had some of those discussions today, and I guess that's why that came up. But you know, the problem is not the politics. The problem is who is puppeting those politics.
Amen.
Or those politicians. And so we have to understand what's really beneath the surface. It all stems from what's lurking beneath. Now the question is, how are we who are physical beings able to do battle in the spiritual realm? I have two answers to that. First of all, my first answer is that we were created both as physical and spiritual beings. And we are the only ones that I know of who are created that way. Because when God made us, He not only gave us a mind to think with, He not only gave us a body to function with, but He gave us a living spirit. It says He breathed into the nostrils of man, the breath of life, and man became not just a living thing, but a living spirit. We are physical, we are mental, but we are spiritual beings. And that's very important. That is how we, who are physical, are able to operate and function and do business in a spiritual realm, because we are both physical and spiritual. So, first of all, the reason we're able to do that is because we were created as both physical and spiritual. But the second thing I want you to understand is the reason why we're able to do that kind of work and that kind of business in the spiritual realm is because we were bought by the blood of Christ and adopted as children of God. So not only do we have the ability to work in the spiritual realm, we have the authority to work in the spiritual realm.
Amen. Right.
We're not renegades. We're not vigilantes just working on our own and doing things outside of the authority of the law. But we have God's name stamped on everything that we do.
Amen.
Well, not everything that we do, but everything that we do that's scriptural, right?
There you go.
Amen.
The next question then is, how do we go about doing battle in the spiritual realm? And that's the subject of our message tonight. I'm going to try to get through these as quickly as possible. So I'll speak quickly, you listen quickly, and hopefully we'll get through this quickly, or in however much time it takes to get through it. All right, now the first thing I want you to notice, here's how we do this. First of all, we stand. In verses 10 through 11, we stand. Now, if you go back with me to verse 10, this is very important. Please listen to what I'm saying here. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what?
His might.
Then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, I want you to notice that in verses 10 and 11 and on down through the rest of this chapter, the word fight is never mentioned. Do you see that? The word fight is not once mentioned. We see the word wrestle, which means to struggle, appear in the following verse. But there is no command for us to advance in battle against Satan. We're not headhunters. We're not walking around doing spiritual battle. We are doing God's work. And when the battle comes, we stand. Now that's really what we do. Why? Because the Lord our God fights for us. We're not the ones fighting for ourselves. But there are times when we're going to have to, when this battle, when we're the ones being attacked, although we not may not be able to fight back like God can, we're told to stand. We've got to stand firm. We are told to stand here. The word stand means to stay put. It means to resist or to remain firmly planted. We're not to go looking for ways to engage in this battle, but when it's brought to us, we're to stand our ground without yielding or fleeing. Amen. My dad always taught me, son, don't you ever start a fight. But if one gets started, you better not run away from it. Yes, it did. The word stand is given in some form a total of four different times. We see it in verse 11, we see it in 13, and verse 14. If you look with me in verse 13, it actually takes a different form, both in the Greek and in the English. But in verse 13, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." Now notice that. In the evil day. They come from the same word. But he says you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, in that first word, withstand, it means to resist by actively opposing a pressure or power. That means when you're pushed, you push back. You withstand. But the rest of the time that we see this word stand, all through these verses, even in the last part of verse 13, in every other instance, the same word is used. It just means to stand your ground. To stay put. What we're being told then is in the midst of the fiercest trials and the worst tribulations, to stay put. You don't flee. You don't forsake. You don't turn away. You don't run. He didn't even say to fight. Stand. Stay put. God's on his way. God's going to take care of it. God's the one with the power. He's our Savior. He's our mighty warrior, our fortress, all those things. But until he gets ready, you stand. And you stand not in your power, but in the power of his might, which we're going to see in just a moment then. Don't run. Don't resign. Resist. Listen, people are going to push you to lose your temper. Here's what this is saying. Don't.
Right.
Don't. You're going to want to. They're going to make you so mad. Don't. Finances are going to push you to lose hope. Don't. Problems are going to push you to lose faith. Don't. Stand your ground. So the question is then, how do we stand? I want to give you the next two points, or the two ways that we stand. First of all, we stand in His power. We find that in verse 10 once again. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Exactly. And I can't emphasize that enough. Not the power of your might. You say, "I'm not strong enough." You're right. You're not strong enough. And he never told you to be strong enough. He said, you stand in the power of His might.
Right.
Listen, there's no doubt that we are not strong enough to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is too strong, he's too powerful, and he's too resourceful for us to stand on our own. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our temptations, he knows our breaking points. He knows exactly how to hit where it hurts.
Amen.
And what's interesting is that Paul doesn't use the word dunamis, which means dynamic power. He doesn't use the word exousia, which means authority. But the word is used here is kratos, which means the power to rule or control. Now let's look at that verse again. In verse 10 he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That word power means the power to rule or control. It's very interesting that he uses that word. This is what it tells me. That we are not only standing in His strength, but in His lordship. Now ultimately our minds, when it says stand in the power of His might, we're talking about sheer strength. That we don't have the sheer strength to do this, and so we use His strength. Yes, that is very true. But He's also talking about here not just His strength, but His lordship. What that should mean is that the devil can say whatever he wants. But I know who my king is. I know who my daddy is. And he can say whatever he wants. But I know at the end of the day, my God can back up what he says. This leads to the real issue then of spiritual warfare. Why does Satan want to attack you?
I'm on the other side.
Why? Are you that important? That Satan's sitting around, wringing his hands all day long. How can I make his life miserable? How can I make her life miserable? Are you the center of creation? Are you the center of the earth? And you're the biggest foe that he has, and so he has to attack you? Listen, no, that's not it at all. But I'll tell you this. When you take a stand for God, when you are doing spiritual ministry, Satan takes note of that.
Amen.
And when he takes note of that, he's going to attack you for it. Now, some of you say, well, I don't ever feel like I'm being attacked, or I don't ever see any of these things going on. Well, Paul also says to young Timothy that all those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So the problem may not be that Satan is not around, it's just he's not that worried about you. But if you were doing ministry, if you were working for God, and if you are leading people to the Lord, or you're trying to, and you're trying to be an example of God, and you're doing spiritual work, that bothers Satan. He's going to do anything that he can to stop you. Listen, when you're witnessing, when you're encouraging, when you're leading, when you're teaching, and worst of all, when you are praying, you're doing spiritual work, and Satan is going to attack that. This verse is saying that when he does, that we are able to stand because we're not doing spiritual business in our authority. We're doing spiritual business in his authority.
Amen.
In other words, we'll just set up a situation. Hopefully this conversation never actually happens. But Satan says, I see you're witnessing, and I see you're praying, and I see you're doing all these things for God. What authority are you doing this on? Remember, there was a time even in the book of Acts in Paul's ministry where some people were going around doing different things, and they were saying all this stuff in Jesus' name and all these things, and the demon said, listen, we know who Paul is, we know who Jesus is, who are you? So if that question ever gets asked to you, who are you? Why are you doing all these things? You can say, listen, I'm not doing it in my name. I'm carrying his name.
That's right.
That's what it means to stand in his strength. Number one, strength, but also in the power of his mind. Or in the authority that he has to be the Lord and ruler of all things.
Amen.
The devil's not in control of the spiritual realm, folks. God is.
Right.
And when his name is brought up, when God's name is brought up, when the name of Jesus is brought up, you better believe that Satan at least has respect that whether or not he wants to. The second thing is not only that we stand in his strength, but this is the last thing. This is the third point, excuse me, is that we stand in his armor in verses 11 through 18. Now, the first thing we need to notice is that just as we are standing in his power, we're also standing, or we have to stand in his armor. Now, so much time has been given to these verses explaining the Roman soldier's armor and how each piece fit, what it looked like, how it functioned, all this. And that's all important, but what's more important than any of that is to learn what God's armor is and how it functions and how we put it on. I remember back when I was a younger preacher, probably like 20, 21 years old. I went and preached at a church. I was just doing fill-in work. I wasn't a pastor. And Nikki went with me, and she's always, we've been married how long, 14 years? For 14 years, after every sermon, I always ask her, how'd it go, you know? And this was at the beginning of our ministry. She's learned to say, it went great, honey. And back then, she didn't do that. And so I put this sermon together. It was on the armor of God. I went through each piece of the armor and talked about how the Roman soldiers did this and how all this was used, pulled in all the customs and everything I've been learning in the seminary. And man, I probably had a good 55-minute sermon. I thought that was the best sermon I ever preached. Got out to the car, said, honey, how was that? Because I just knew she was going to say, that was the best sermon you've ever preached.
Nice.
I said, honey, how did it go? She said, well, it was kind of boring. And I said, what? Boring? How could that be boring? Well, all you did was talk about what the Roman soldiers, you know, wore and stuff like that. And I don't know. It was just kind of long, you know. I was expecting it to be like this great revival breaking out because everybody knew what a Roman soldier wore. But see here, that's not what I want us to do here. I could care less what a Roman soldier wore. All right? I've already studied all that. I preached that sermon before. It was boring. What we're going to do is we're going to look at what the armor of God is. We may have to bring up Roman armor from time to time because that is what Paul used to illustrate it. But we're going to focus on what that armor is and how it functions. Now, we're not going to do it in this message. We don't have time to. But that is what we're going to study. And I think this was a great study for me. It really helped me a lot. And I hope that it's going to be a great encouragement to you as well. Because listen, we do not have to keep being pounded and defeated the way that we are sometimes. We do not have to do that. And that's what all this is about. That's not to say Satan's not going to pound on you, but we can stand in his strength, in his power, and his armor. And we don't have to just constantly be defeated, constantly, you know, be down and out because of what Satan's doing in our lives.
Thank God.
God's armor is divided into six pieces. I want you to notice something as we look down through this. Three of these are to be worn at all times. The other three are to be taken up on an as-needed basis. And so we're going to kind of look down through these. If you look with me in verse 11, though, he says, put on the what? The whole armor of God. You know, I played football, and if we just put the helmet on and went out and played, we got beat up pretty bad, which that never happened. The coach would never let us do that. We had to put on the whole armor every time we went out. And I'll tell you, even if we accidentally missed a mouthpiece, we knew it by the end of that night, right? And so we have to put on the whole armor of God. But look at verse 11. That you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For, as we saw last week, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore, take unto you the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, this is the armor. He says, stand therefore, number one, having your loins girt about with truth. So, the first piece of this armor that you're to wear at all times is the belt of truth. He says in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. That's a belt with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the second one. And then third, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we've looked at those three. We have the belt of truth, we have the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. But I want you to notice in verse 14, he says, stand therefore having your loins girded. The word having there means that at all times you're to stand with this on. You don't ever take this off. Not ever. And listen, I know that soldiers probably took their armor off every once in a while, but their enemies also slept. Yours doesn't. So you keep it on at all times. You always wear these three, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So those are the first three pieces of armor that you are to wear at all times. But then look at this in verse 16. There are three things that we pick up as needed. He says in verse 16, above all, taking. And that word taking means taking up. Or we can translate this a different way. He says, above these, or aside from these three that you always wear, he says, pick up three things as well. Verse 16, pick up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He says, take the, again, pick up the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the three that we take up on an as-needed basis are the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now listen, the armor that we always wear, let's go past the Roman soldiers and their gear and everything, and I want you to notice the three things that we always have on us are truth, righteousness, and peace. Now, the second three, those three things we always wear, but what we always keep close, what always is at hand, ready to pick up at a moment's notice and use, is the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And that's not to say we can leave those at home. When I say that we pick those up on an as-needed basis, we don't leave those at home someday, but we wear the first three at all times, and when we need to use it in battle, then we pick up and use those as needed. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to talk about all of those, what all of those mean as we go on through this study. And I truly pray that God will sear into our hearts and minds these truths and how to use them. Now, the important thing to notice right now is that this is not just a cute way of encouraging people through hard times, saying to put on the whole armor of God. These are not sweet words used to make us feel better. These are spiritual truths that will help us to stand better. And as we go along, we're going to look at each of these pieces of armor individually. We're going to learn what they are and how to become trained in using them. And I hope that you'll continue to attend on our Sunday night services. I think this is going to be a fascinating study. And I think that it may be one of the most beneficial studies that you'll have gone through in a long time. I really hope that that's the case. Pray for me as I prepare them. Pray for us, because listen, now that you're aware of what's going on, I'm not saying it's going to get worse, but you're going to notice it a lot more. But hopefully at the same time, though you notice what's going on more, hopefully you'll know how to defend yourself more.
Amen.
And be able to stand and not constantly be slipping and falling and all these things that go along with it. Listen, Satan's good at what he does. He's a powerful enemy. He's a fierce opponent. And he has nothing on his mind other than your utter destruction. But John tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And you need to understand that Satan is not a competition for God.
Amen.
Satan is allowed to do what he does. God has given him the freedom to do those things. He gave him free choice, just like we have free choice. Satan has made his choices. Satan has done his things, and he will pay for it one day. Never mistake the fact that God is greater than he is. But understand that if he is attacking you right now, it may seem the other way around, but stand. Stand in God's power. Stand in God's armor.